Welcome back to part two. Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donney, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Ferreira. The passcode thing is very important. My wife knows my passcode. We share the same passcode. It's not something that we have to think, oh, what is it again? What is theirs? Oh, yeah, here's mine. No, we share the same one. The only devices that I have that have a different passcode are the ones I use at the church, because I don't want people at church to know my passcode, right? Kevin uses that device. He knows the passcode for that device. And so those are things that we practice and are very important. And so having the trust, and I think it's, here's something that I think it might be harder mostly on women and sometimes on men, is jealousy. Okay. And jealousy can breed strife in a relationship. And there's some people that are automatically prone to jealousy. And so if they could be bringing that in from a previous relationship, they could have something that happened to them in the past going into this relationship. And they're like, I don't know if I could trust them. I've dealt with clients who have dealt with jealousy, and mostly the guys that they're like, I don't know why she keeps doing this to me. And I said, you have to ask her a question. And the question is very simple. Do you trust me? If it's anything less than yes, then she doesn't. And we need to figure out why. It's not a yes, but that's still not a yes. That's a no. And so if you're dealing with somebody who's constantly jealous, you have to ask them, do you trust me? And because they need to deal with whatever they are dealing with from that previous relationship. What they're doing is they're holding you accountable for what the other person did to them. And that's not good. And so ask the simple question, do you trust me? And then Laura, you mentioned about going through and seeing if you can find something on the other person's device. It reminded me of Chronicles of Narnia and what C.S. Lewis wrote, and how some of the children would hear something that somebody said about them without them knowing. And Aslan confronted that child and said, you know, that's their story. Okay. And what you did was not good. Listening in or seeking out to find out what they were thinking. Because sometimes what happens is we will find and confirm something that may not actually be true, but are the thoughts of someone else, or could be perceived as the thoughts of someone else. And so we have to be careful that we can find whatever we're looking for. We can manufacture it, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And what you're doing is you're adding pain, you're adding strife onto that relationship. And the last thing too is that we've talked about is like emotional affairs. I think at some point in the future, we need to talk about emotional divorces.
Yep, because, that's a good one, Joseph. Yep.
You know, emotional affairs start with the little things and can snowball into something bad. An emotional divorce starts with the little things and snowballs into actual divorce. And so we have a lot of things that we're dealing with that need to be addressed early on. And we, most of the time, the people that are seeking out this needs to be fixed are, I find sometimes, typically the ones that have the problem. And they don't trust. They may be hurt from a previous relationship. They're bringing things into their relationship that they've not addressed. The other side of it is some people have a fantasy that ends up taking them places that they don't want to go.
That's a good point, Joseph, that emotional divorce, because we can use social media to build up a case like a good, like, well, I wouldn't say a good attorney, but well, a good attorney, like an attorney. They're looking for evidence and data or something to back up their position. So if you're going through an emotional problem with your spouse or some sort of emotional withdrawal or a divorce process, an emotional divorce, then you're going to look on social media, or you might be tempted, well, that person is prettier than my spouse, or that person is more successful than my spouse. So that's data to start your justification trail, psychologically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. Oh, that person, boy, we have more things in common. Or that person, boy, look, we belong to the same club. Or, you know, we got so much more. You can start using social media to build up evidence or some sort of something to justify your nonsense if you're not careful, or your fantasy, as you referred to, or your whatever. But I think what we need to do is take a step back and realize what our marriages are. Our marriages are a reflection of Jesus Christ's relationship with his church. That covenant is a God-plane relationship. It's not a man-made thing. And so if we are emotionally cheating or emotionally divorcing or doing anything inappropriate online, we are really rebelling against God himself and our spouse, but against God himself and breaking covenant. And if we can't be trusted with that, what can we be trusted with? And if we can't be trusted with that, then the enemy has free rein to turn us every which way but loose, and he will. He'll destroy everything around you.
You know, it's like we lose integrity with others and we lose it with ourselves. And you know what I love that you said, Kevin, is that, you know, you look on there and you say, oh, this person's prettier than my wife. Yes. The world is full of beautiful people. The only thing constant is change. So, gentlemen, if you're looking and saying this woman is more beautiful than my wife, hello, welcome to the world, okay? But you don't know who your wife is yet to become. And women, if you're looking and saying, oh, this guy, he has a more important job, he makes more money, you have no idea who your husband is going to become. The only thing that is constant is the flux. All of our life is in flux. Listen, a marriage might be in a season of what we call winter, because it's like there's babies and there's bills and you're trying to build a business, and like there's not a lot of time for romance. But you got to remember that it's just that you're in flux. You are in the process of building something. And I don't know about you guys, but my husband and I did a lot of work in Honduras building homes. And let me tell you something, you're not pretty when you're building, okay? You're hot, you're sweaty, right? You're tired. I just feel like that's a word of the Lord for somebody, okay? When you're building something, you're tired, you're messy, but it's just a season. See, we built things so that people could come in and live peaceful lives, right? There comes a place where the building is done. So there's always going to be somebody prettier. I'm going to speak to the women now. There's always going to be somebody prettier. This is why learning to love who God designed you to be. Listen, I believe, you know, you can fix this and fix that and make up this and color that. Listen, I'm all about that. But ultimately, learning to love yourself for the vehicle, the body that God gave you, is really the first place to start. Because if you're not careful, you're going to pursue a moving target, okay? Because as soon as you think you're as beautiful as this one to your right, I promise you another one more beautiful with completely different looks is going to show up on your left. And that's okay. That's the way life is, right? And, you know, it's the same again. You know, women are very drawn, rightfully or wrongfully, right? They're drawn to men that are quote unquote successful. Okay, but your man is in process too, right? And even if he isn't financially successful, is he successful in the way he cares for his children? Is he a man of integrity who shows up on the job? Does he actually even work? Does he actually even keep a job? Is he good to strangers? Is he generous? You see, there's a lot of ways for a man to be wealthy. And gentlemen, there's a lot of ways for women to be beautiful. And it has very little to do with their curves. Because I'll tell you, gentlemen, I want to remind you, curves change too. Okay. And so the prettiest woman today will look different in 5 years and 10 years. It's just the way the world is. So when we go back to this place of what the three of us are talking about, and we go back to the heart of the matter, getting into the soul of the marriage, right? Working on whatever it is that the marriage needs so that there is no turning outside the marriage. As Dr. Phil always said, you never solve a problem in a marriage by turning outside the marriage. That's a word for somebody that's never heard that great Dr. Philism, okay? You never, ever solve anything in your marriage when you turn outside of the marriage to find an answer.
Absolutely. Everything starts right here, and I'm pointing to my head if you're listening. Everything starts right here. And we have to be careful, because where if we don't have this under control, it's going to seep out into the rest of our lives. It's going to go down to our heart. It's going to affect the way we talk. It's the effect the way we see things, the way we hear things. And there's a big push in the social media / YouTube / the YouTube, how would I call them? The YouTube relationship gurus. And what they're doing is they're speaking the things that we want to hear into our ears. Oh, you're not happy with your marriage? You can leave it and be happy somewhere else. What we don't realize is that we have broken furniture, broken appliances in our life. Our walls are cracked, or our roof is falling in. We don't like it, and we think we're going to go somewhere else. What we're doing is we're taking that with us into the next relationship. And what we're doing is we're failing to fix what's in our own lives and hoping that the next relationship will fix it. Well, guess what? If you have problems now, it doesn't matter if you're married or not. If you have problems now, another relationship's not going to fix it. Marriage doesn't fix problems. It amplifies it. It puts a spotlight on our problems. And so if you're a young person, you want to be married, you're carrying some baggage, start now. Work on it. You need to work on the things that are going on in your life now before you bring it into marriage, because that other person's not going to fix your problems. You're the only one that has control over your own problems. If you see the other person and go, oh, I can fix that, guess what? You can't fix that. They're the only ones that can fix themselves. And actually, it's the Holy Spirit, it's Christ in our life that points out those areas that need to be fixed. And a lot of people have anxiety because they're running from God. And so what do? Oh, I'm going to take medication to get rid of my anxiety. Well, what about your problems? Well, if my anxiety goes away, guess what? My problems go away too. No, they don't. They follow you like a lost puppy dog from place to place because you're feeding it. You're giving it what it needs. And so we need to fix the problems in our lives. We need to focus on the things that we're unhappy about. If you're in a marriage, guess what? You have the ability to work on yourself, to make yourself better so that there's hope. And hopefully your spouse will do the same thing. You can't fix the other person. You can't make them be what you want them to be. You chose them. And so now you have to figure out, okay, how can I present myself to be the best version of myself so that there's a fighting chance? And so the social information that you're listening to, you can glean some good stuff, but there's a lot of garbage out there. Be very careful, because everything starts here in your head.
And you guys are saying some good things. You know, when we get on social media, I think it's very clear if we're not careful. If we jump on social media in an inappropriate way and looking at inappropriate content, that's a means to try to cover up insecurities, whether a person realizes it or not, by chasing that which we really shouldn't have. It's a substitutal kind of thing to that what you're saying, Joseph, instead of dealing with the real problems on the inside. And I think it's a matter of simplicity too. I think we have to depend on God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, to give us a simplicity. That Holy Spirit will give us a simplicity of love where we don't, where we feel more secure, where we don't have to go look for this, that, and whatever. We're kind of content with what we have, even though we may have to struggle a little bit or communicate a little bit or resolve conflict or compromise and work with our spouse. It's like you're saying, we shouldn't go look for something more shiny. That's kind of immature. That's kind of, pardon my French, but stupid. Because even the shiny coin that came out this year is going to turn tarnished in about 10 years if you put it through a few million hands. But the simplicity I'm talking about is, I think the Holy Spirit will give us a contentment with our spouse if we're on the right, correct wavelength. My wife, for example, I'll just use my situation. She's a few pounds heavier than when we first met, but she's still my. She takes the breath away from me when I see her. She's gorgeous, I think. And are there ladies that are more glamorous and whatever? Sure. But I'm not in love with just the physicality of my wife. I'd love her when she smiles at our grandson. I think it's adorable. I love it the way she laughs at my corny jokes. It's like, and I love how she's pensive when she's reading the Word of God, and just the looks and the character and the things that are simple. I'm not looking for the shiny penny. I don't want the shiny penny. I don't want the disaster that comes from that. I'm in love with all the intangibles and all the stuff that my wife offers and gives, not just wanting to consume something for my own lust and for my own agenda and my own craziness. If that makes any sense, I think we need a simplicity of heart to stay away from some of this stuff. I don't have time to be on social media because I got time to love my wife and time to take care of the yard and take care of my family. I mean, I'm not condemning our audience if they need to go on social media, but I think we can go on social media and get away from the simplicity that we need in our hearts, to get away from the real love that we need in our hearts, to try to substitute something that's not going to satisfy us.
I think you said that beautifully, and every woman in the audience is cheering. And it goes back to this truth, right? Back to the soul of our marriage, which is we are so much more than our outward beauty, right? We all grow older. There's nothing that we can do about that. It just is, right? But what has been cultivated in that 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 25 years in that marriage, you know? And again, if somebody says to me, well, nothing, okay, that's the bigger issue.
Right.
Because back to something that I believe Joseph said, which is you're just going to carry that forward, right? We are who we are. Wherever I go, guess who shows up? Me. And so if I'm in a relationship where I'm unhappy about X, Y, and Z, and I don't get to the root of that, if I don't take ownership of what I can take ownership for, you know, I always say you can't change what you don't acknowledge. If I don't do that work, I'm just going to move into a brand new relationship with the same issues, right? And I believe that most people, not all people, most people, I believe, are truly looking for connection. I do believe that, right? And having said that, I want to say to the gentlemen and the women on here is you have to remember, and I want you to talk about this as a couple, a lot, that everything we see on television and social media is all curated. It's not real. It's photoshopped. It's the right lighting. Even I don't look exactly like this, right? I've got my light. I've got the sunshine, right? I know who I am away from the camera. And guess what? So does my husband. I know who I am without the beautiful war paint that I love to put on, right? I know who I am. The reality is what we're looking at for men and women, okay? The majority of it's not real, or it's real, but it's always changing. Right. So a woman that looks her finest at 10 in the morning, look at her at 5 in the afternoon. Her hair's everywhere. Right. She's tired. She's kicking off those heels that look so sexy. Right. She wants to go home and put her sweatpants on. And gentlemen, I just got to say this to you, the listener, is that sexy woman that you're being drawn to, guess what she likes to do when she goes home? She loves to put on her sweatpants just like your wife. She loves to walk around in her old fuzzy slippers. And, you know, she loves to eat Haagen-Dazs when it's that time of the month and she don't want to be bothered. Okay. That's just life. That's reality. And I think that something that you men brought forward that I just got to say it again is life is, you know, it's hard. You know, we want life to be simple and there is no simplicity in life. Okay, there's the illusion, there's the fantasy, but life is hard. Everybody is working really hard. And so being honest with yourself and being honest with your partner and talking about these things, you know, if not, we go into these secret closets in our mind thinking other people have it better. They don't. Listen, I can say, listener, the three of us, Kevin, Joseph, and I, we have dealt with so many people. We can promise you that the wealthiest and the most beautiful people, you have no idea what's going on behind closed doors. And I tell you what, you would not want to change lives with them. I can guarantee you that. Mm-hmm. So we need to come back and enjoy what we have so that we are not tempted, back to the scriptures, that we are not dragged away by our own evil desires. Our own evil desires and enticed. And then after we have continued to go down this path, we then give birth to sin. And then when that sin becomes full grown, we have actually given birth to death.
Absolutely. And let's do this. We're going to go around with some of our last thoughts here. And I have to apologize to those who are watching. Unlike Laura, this is how I actually look. So I want you to.
She has her beautiful war paint on. You have your war whiskers. Let's just say that. Right.
I jest. But we all try to give some sort of a projection. We always try to put our best foot forward. Sometimes it's not for the other person. Sometimes it's for ourselves. And we have to be okay with ourselves. Too many people are running around trying to be something that they're not, when actually the genuine is more attractive than the fake. The fake has a counterfeit feel. And we know that even the fake can have value, but the authentic is more valuable and it feels better. So I want to encourage people to be authentic. So let's go ahead and go around. I'll start with you, Kevin, and give our last thoughts on this.
Well, you know, this is not a new problem to humanity. We just have new technologies and new devices. Because the old adage, it's greener on the other side of the fence, has been around, I don't know how long. And it probably appeared in different languages and just got translated into English one of the hundreds of years ago. The grass is greener on the other side. People are going to think I'm a hillbilly. I don't know. I have some, should we say, not outlandish analogies sometimes, but it's greener on the other side of the fence because there's more bullcrap over there. And I live on a farm, so where there's more bullcrap or more animal droppings, the grass is fertilized and it grows greener. But the problem is when we try to climb over that fence, we get the bullcrap on our shoes. And then we climb up over the back over the fence to try to go home and try to conceal everything, and the bullcrap is still on our shoes. All of a sudden, the bullcrap's in the car.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the bullcrap is on the tile floor in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, the carpet in the living room, and there's bullcrap everywhere.
Can I interrupt you and add something?
Sure.
When I say the grass is greener on the other side, I said, yeah, because somebody maintained it.
That's right.
If you can't maintain your side of the fence, you shouldn't be on the greener side, because you're going to mess it up.
Go right. ahead. And just avoid the bullcrap. You know, humanity has been doing this for since it's been around. It's just that we have newer devices. So if you have a need, to go on social media to cover up something or to search something or to find that shiny penny, then you probably have a need that's spiritual with God and you need to consider it.
That's so good. That is so good. My two takeaways are this. Never do anything in secrecy. We talked about this before. Privacy is one thing, but secrecy, we know the difference about secrecy, and secrecy kills. It just does. And I would say to the listener, worse than that, secrecy is darkness, and darkness is where Satan dwells. And if we can just remember, secrecy brings death, and secrecy is darkness, and secrecy is where Satan dwells. I think that that would sober us a lot about the choices we're going to make. And my second takeaway is to ask actually a question and then to give you an answer, which is, the question is, has the Holy Spirit been convicting you? Have you been going down a path that is what we're talking about? Or have you actually slid to the very bottom and you're actually there now? Has the Lord been convicting you? And I don't doubt that he has, because that's the goodness of God. The Lord always sends his Spirit to bring conviction before destruction comes. That's who the Lord is. And my response to that is, repent now. Repent now, not tomorrow. Repent now. Repent what is changing our mind. It is confessing our sin. It is agreeing with God. It is understanding that to continue is outright rebellion. And to understand that you must, secondly, then make serious changes. That might mean that you need to change your gym.
Right.
Because something's happening right there. And, you know, somebody you're seeing from social media that you're now talking to, change your gym. You might need to shut down your social media platforms 100%. Whatever it is you need to do, do it and do it swiftly. And here's the thing that Kevin Joseph and I will assure you of. Anytime you do something to honor God and to walk in obedience, he will send in the help of angels. He will send in the Holy Spirit. He will arrange circumstances. It's not to say that you won't feel the effects of consequences, but we can assure you that the mercy of God will be there and the consequences will be much less severe. So if the Holy Spirit's been convicting you, and if you're hearing this and you're being convicted, that means that there's an opportunity for you to repent and for you to be restored. But you got to cooperate with God. And cooperating means you repent and then you make those changes that would cut off what is surely leading you to death.
That's good.
And so I'm going to give two things and then read the scripture, but one of them, before I say them, I want to say, if you guys need help, reach out to us. We deal with this a lot. If you're not a part of a Bible believing church, get involved. You need people to walk with you, to help you, to encourage you to do the right things. You can't do this by yourself. A lot of people say, well, I can do this by myself. No, you can't. It's very difficult, but you need other people to encourage you. We need armor bearers. We need people who are going to have our back, to encourage us to do the right thing and not expose our back to the enemy and then receive the wounds that we've self-inflicted. So don't do this by yourself. Reach out to us. We can help you. One of the things I want to tell both husbands and wives is, serve each other. One of the hardest things that you could ever do when you're in conflict is to serve the person who's hurting you, or to serve someone who you feel is neglecting you. And we can be so self-focused that we focus on the thing that we're lacking, asking for, I need this in order for me to be filled, instead of pouring out into the other person. If two people are constantly asking for something to fill them, they're always going to be in lack. There's always going to be a need. But if we're each pouring into each other, there's always going to be excess. It's funny how God works and has designed us. But if we're pouring into the other person, and what we're doing is we're sacrificing, we're not being selfish, we're actually pouring into the other person, and not to receive because we gave, but also to keep our hearts from becoming hard. And so serve the other person. The last thing I want to do is I want to read Proverbs chapter 5 from start to finish, because it's very important. And this goes to men, but this is also for women too. It says, "My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of an adulterous woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Do not turn aside from what I say. Keep to a path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you lose your honor to others and your dignity to one who is cruel, lest strangers feast on your wealth and your toil enrich the house of another. At the end of your life, you will groan. When your flesh and your body are spent, you will say, 'How I hate discipline! How my heart spurned correction! I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people.' Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with the strangers. May your fountain be blessed. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. Why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman? For your ways are in full view of the Lord. He examines all your paths. The evil deeds of the wicked ensnare them. The cords of their sins hold them fast. For lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly." Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.